Good morning. Please turn to chapter 60 of Isaiah, verses 1 through 3. Remain standing for the reading of God's word. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth. And we thank you, Lord, that it is sufficient for all of our needs. And so we ask you to speak to us today through your spirit, the words of life. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. From the very beginning, 40 years ago, St. Andrew's has had a missions heartbeat. It is part of our DNA as a church. We desire to see the good news of Jesus Christ go out from here, as we already said, across the street, across the country, and across the world. The primary way we fund this effort is through our faith missions giving. And a few times during the year, we emphasize our missions effort by bringing some of our partners here to speak to us, like we've done today and as we will do on Wednesday, and also by informing you about what's going on and how those funds are being used for the expansion of God's kingdom. This year's theme for missions, as was announced back in March and as I mentioned, is Arise and Shine. God calls his people to be an active part of spreading the message of hope found in Jesus Christ. In fact, we are the means that God has entrusted to do this. He has chosen us to evangelize the world. That in itself is an astounding reality. What amazing privilege it is to be used by God to build his eternal kingdom. Today I'm going to work a little bit backwards. I'm going to give you some ideas of application and challenge you here at the beginning of the sermon to then take with you as we travel through this passage as I preach the text. One of the goals that's been placed before us this year from the church leadership as a church is that we would be mobilized with the gospel here and around the world. I trust that you've been praying about that, how the Lord might mobilize you individually and mobilize our church with the good news of Jesus Christ here and around the world. We've also been praying that the Lord would give us broken hearts for the lost, the hurting, the marginalized, those in our community and around the world who are without hope, that he would show each of us individuals to share the good news with, neighbors, coworkers, family members, and that he would increase our involvement with our local partners that are doing this work on the front lines right here in our community. We support over 50 organizations and individuals financially through your faith mission giving dollars. The missions team set a financial goal of $250,000 this year in terms of pledges. To date, we haven't met that goal in pledges yet. But there's still time. There's still time to pledge if you haven't been involved yet, or if you're new to the church. Or perhaps the Lord has exceeded your expectations and you want to step out in faith even more and you want to pledge more this year during your faith mission giving. God can certainly enable you to do that. And again, I'll remind you of the cards that are around with the commitment cards inside. I would encourage all of you to be praying about that and see how God might use you to contribute to our faith missions giving. We've been exploring the topic of faith for several months now in our study of Hebrews. We're stepping out of that verse-by-verse study this week for this emphasis today. So the question would arise, how big is your faith in God? Do you believe that he can provide for you, for us as a church, to mobilize for the gospel, to take missions here and around the world, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? The question to ask yourself isn't, how much can I afford this year? That's a pragmatic. That would be pragmatic missions giving, not faith missions giving. Instead, ask yourself, how much can I trust God to provide for me to give this year? That's faith mission giving. So as we continue to look forward in faith as a church family, pray about that and ask God how he might grow your faith through this process. Step out of your comfort zone and exercise big faith in a big God. And not just with your giving, but with your mobilizing, with your sharing with others the good news of Jesus Christ, with your praying for our missionaries, our partners, and praying for the work of the gospel even here in our church. This morning we're going to look at God's word in this message entitled, Arise, Shine, Shattering the Darkness with the Light of the Gospel. The contrast of light and darkness as forces for good and evil is a pretty common metaphor in our culture, isn't it? It's in all great literature and in poetry and in stories. This is a very common metaphor. And the Bible speaks of it as well, throughout from cover to cover, this idea of light contrasted with darkness. It's a helpful and descriptive metaphor that we can really identify with. We understand this on a daily basis, even with the cycle of night and day that we live with. The prophet Isaiah in his time was writing to Judah and Israel, as well as the nations, pronouncing God's judgment upon them for their rebellion and their failure to worship the one true God. But woven throughout these pronouncements of judgment is hope. Hope that light was coming. Hope that this wasn't the end for God's people. And certainly part of the prophecy and part of that hope was the rescue from Babylon, the return to their land. But the greater hope was in a promised Messiah, one who would come to bring light to the world, one who would shed light in the darkest corners of the globe. I want to look at 4 points from our passage in relation to the light of the gospel overcoming the evil of darkness. First is the source of the light. The second point is the sending of the light. The separation from the light. Then the sending of the light. And finally, the success of the light. Our first point, the source of the light, look at verse 1 again here in Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We are in need of a light source. Notice the passive nature of those that are receiving this light. The light comes to us. We don't generate it. As we are groping around in the darkness, the light of God's love and goodness rises on us like the sun rises at the break of dawn. It shines in our hearts. The very first words of the Bible describing the creation of the universe are centered around this contrast of light and darkness. In Genesis, the book of beginnings, in chapter 1, verse 1, we read that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Darkness was the default condition of the world at the very beginning. It goes on, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. One of God's very first creative acts was to make light and to set up a contrast between light and darkness, day and night. In our world, both physically and spiritually, darkness is the default position. Without a light source, we live in a very, very dark place. There are a lot of cave systems that one can explore in our country. I'm not sure if you've ever done that. It's quite an adventure. We did it when we went out west one time. There's Mammoth Cave and Carlsbad Caverns. We happen to go to Wind Cave National Park. One of the common elements in a typical tour of these caves is once you're down in there, they turn the lights out on you. It's a little disturbing because you really find yourself in the depths of the earth with absolutely no hint of any light pollution creeping in. And it literally is one of those moments where you cannot see the hand in front of your face. No one has to create the darkness. It's there. They only have to remove the light source. Spiritually, this is true in our fallen world too, isn't it? Sin and separation from our Creator are the default positions. Spiritual darkness covers every corner of the globe. We need a spiritual source of light and goodness to shine on our lives. Even as there was only one source for the light at creation, there is only one source for spiritual light. And that is the Creator of light and life, God Himself. Looking back to the Genesis account, we might be tempted to think when God said, "Let there be light," that the sun popped out. But according to the narrative, the sun wasn't created until day 4. We get some further insight into this light source in the Apostle John's vision of the future when he sees a new heaven and a new earth that will be created at the end of days. There in Revelation 21 it says, "And the city of this new creation has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb, and by its light will the nations walk." Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is the true source of light. The Gospel of John gives us that wonderful prologue of the Word who created the world, of Jesus. And he speaks of Jesus being that light at the beginning of creation. Jesus himself said in John's Gospel, in one of his I Am statements, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In the creation account of Genesis, we're told that all of God's creation was good, and man and woman enjoyed the radiance of God's light in their hearts as they communed with him. So what happened? Adam and Eve sinned against God. They broke his law. They rebelled against him, and they had to face judgment. Sin entered the world, and spiritual darkness followed. And point 2 in your outline is the separation from the light. Look at verse 2 in our passage in Isaiah. "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples." What a picture. One can almost see a thick fog on a very dark night where there's no visibility. When our first parents turned their backs on the light of the world, they plunged the whole world into spiritual darkness. And ever since then, this is the state that we're born into. It's our default. We're slaves to sin, hopelessly lost in the dark, and we need a source of light to shine in our hearts. Earlier in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 9, we have some similar words. There the prophet says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God had a plan to restore the glory of his light back to humanity, and Isaiah was given a little glimpse of it, a glimpse that would provide hope for the people of God who were struggling in the darkness. In Matthew's gospel, in chapter 4, verse 14, we're told that Jesus is the fulfillment to Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus was the child that was born. Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Quoting Isaiah, Matthew writes, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them has light dawned. And listen to the next words in that passage. And from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There it was. There was the entry of the light of the world, reclaiming God's people from the darkness, challenging us to repent, to cast ourselves upon the mercy of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this leads us to the third point, the sending of the light. Look again in verse 2 of our passage, Isaiah 60. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Think of that for a moment. You, me, the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, upon his people. God so loved his world that he sent his only son on that wonder-filled night in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. God shattered the darkness with the light of his glory veiled in flesh, becoming one of us that we might be children of the light once more. The light came into the world to shine in the darkness of our hearts, to give us his light that we might shine for him. We talk a lot about the gospel around here. What is the gospel? It's a word that we throw around, and if we're not careful with it, it might lose its meaning. Well, it means good news. And on a hillside in Bethlehem that night Jesus was born, the very first Christmas, the angel announced to the shepherds and said this, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good news, the gospel of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Jesus took on flesh and came to this dark world to live a perfectly good life before God, something that none of us could do. And then he laid down his life on a cross, taking on himself the punishment and the shame and the sin that belongs to us, paying the penalty for us that we might become children of light, joint heirs with Jesus instead of children of darkness. The light of the world had to become darkness in order to give us his light. This is the good news. This is the gospel. And if you haven't embraced that reality for yourself today, then call out in faith to Jesus to save you from your sins, to transfer you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Jesus said to his followers in his teaching about his kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew's gospel again, and this is astounding. Remember earlier in John, we read that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In the Sermon on the Mount, he looks at his followers and he says, "You are the light of the world." A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's astounding, isn't it? God sent his Son, the light of the world, and now he sends us as little lights to share the good news. What a privilege. Like the angel, we too can now proclaim, don't be afraid. We bring good news of great joy. A Savior has come, and his name is Jesus, and he'll lead you out of darkness into light. Has there ever been a time in our lives when our world needs to hear that message more? What an immense privilege we have to be Jesus' lights in the dark world. Are you shining brightly for the kingdom today? Are you taking advantage of this wonderful gift, this privilege that we have been bestowed by our King? There is thick darkness in Haiti, one of our focus areas. But the light of the glory of God is shining there in the midst of the darkness through God's people. There is a thick darkness in Ukraine, but the light of the glory of God is shining there through his people. There's a thick darkness in Bulgaria, England, Irmo, Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina, the United States. The darkness of sin and despair is all around the world, but the light of the glory of God is shining forth through his people. And we get to be a part of it. We get to support efforts like Operation Christmas Child, which takes the light of the gospel to children in darkness all over the world. We get to support, encourage, and pray for brothers and sisters like Vanya and Lauren, who are shining the light of the gospel in the middle of the darkness and horrors of war. And right here in Irmo, we have the privilege of being lights for Jesus. A number of you served at the Irmo Orchestra yesterday, representing Christ, representing our church, sharing Christ with others. We have the joy of taking the gospel to children right across the street who come here from a public school to hear God's word, and then down the street with the Good News Club at Irmo Elementary. What amazing opportunities. We can openly talk to our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers about our faith without fear of reprisal. We can invite folks to church to hear this good news, to hear this gospel. And here's the cool part about all of these efforts, which brings us to our final point: the success of the light. We are guaranteed 100% success in all of our gospel endeavors. We are guaranteed 100% success in all of our gospel endeavors. We cannot fail. Well, maybe you're thinking, wait a minute, how can you say that? Because God is perfectly righteous, and God is completely sovereign. In verse 3 of our passage, we read, "And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Earlier, we read from Revelation 21 that in the new heaven and the new earth, there's no need of a sun or moon, for its light and lamp is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. But then we see the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in verse 24 of that chapter. "By its light, Jesus, will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Jesus said to his disciples, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God is building a kingdom from every tribe and nation, every language and race on the earth, and every single person that Jesus shed his blood for, the Father will deliver to the Son. He promised it to him. All that the Father draws will remain in Christ. And we will be his bride on the great day at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Not one part of that bride will be left behind. We'll all be there on that day. Nothing can sideline God's plan. Not Satan, not governments or rulers, not enemies of the gospel. No one. Not sin, not despair or pain or sadness, not war, not family strife, not broken relationships. Jesus Christ is victorious totally and completely. And we can rejoice along with the Apostle Paul in our sufferings and in our battle against the darkness when he says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast. Be immovable. Always abound in the work of the Lord. And you can know that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Amen. We have this promise. Night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. As we were reminded last week by Andrew from Hebrews, lift your drooping hands. Strengthen your weak knees, for the light of the glory of God is chasing away the shadows of darkness. It is filling every corner of this dark globe, and one day when the work of the gospel is complete, darkness will be now no more, and we will reign forever with Jesus Christ. This is the hope of the gospel. God has called us to share in taking this good news to the nations. So St. Andrews, arise and shine. Shine forth the glory of his name, that he might be honored, that he might be worshiped by all nations. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege that's ours to serve you by being a testimony and a light, to reflect the great light of Christ to our community and to the nations. Lord, would you give us faith that you might accomplish large things with a weak and small people? Not for our glory and not for our sake, but for your name's sake and for the growth and glory of your kingdom. And so, Father, we ask this of you, and we pray that you would hear our prayer and use us as you will. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.